Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Best Happy day Monday. Of the week.
Early morning energy.
There we go. Early morning energy. The trio's back. So good to see you guys.
I know. I've missed you.
It's been a little while. And a lot of stuff has happened through the holidays.
And
really last week. So we'll get into that a little bit.
A couple loyal listeners hit me up this morning and said, how are you guys going to cover all the news that's happened this last week in 30 minutes? And I was like, oh, Michael Lester, watch us pull through. Here we go. But hey, Michael, you and Jamie had a good episode last week. Yeah.
We did.
A few extra couple. Yeah.
I think someone's lagging.
The coffee.
Yes, it was a lot of fun with Jamie last week. We got into College Town rentals and Airbnb's multifamily. I don't want to say flop, but not quite delivering on what people might have expected. So,
I thought that was really interesting. It'll be because the program has actually been going on for so long. It'll be now that they've had this other push. I'm kind of curious to see maybe in a year what that looks like and see if their Florida projects are panning out.
Yeah. I mean, I still have high hopes for that model in general, but we'll see. Only time will tell. Execution is everything.
Exactly.
Agreed. So for the first episode back together, am I lagging that bad? I feel like I'm lagging pretty bad, guys. I'm so sorry. dang it. Go ahead, Michael. You take the wheel.
So we've talked about a lot towards the end of last year, the challenges and our predictions kind of around mergers, acquisitions. There hasn't been too many funding rounds announced lately. And unfortunately, in the past week, we've seen a couple of closure announcements. So let's start with the highs and talk about some acquisitions that have happened. Will?
Definitely. And for any of our live viewers, let us know, one, where you're in from, and two, if you've heard some of these stories, we'd love to see where your pulse is at. But thankfully, I got to sit down with the one and only Steve Davis, who's a big fan of our show and a good friend of the network and all this other good stuff. I got to sit down with them in their Vancouver office, and it was super exciting to discover the acquisition of DAC. So DAC is a guest app. It is a native app that you can download or also web app. And for a while, I thought they were done. They were at one of the closures that we were going to see. But to hear that they were, working in silence and just putting their head down and keeping the product going and building the business as much as they could, it was exciting to see the acquisition brought into Operto, as they already had a guest solution. So enhancing that product on the Operto side, building out kind of the wheelhouse of offerings that they can offer to operators. And so for anyone listening, there's a bonus episode from earlier this morning. It's pretty quick, acquisition interview that I did with Steve Davis. Go check it out. Also go to goodmorninghospitality.com, read the article. It's got some fun little quotes in there from Mr. Davis himself. So congrats to the whole team over there.
And if you have any exciting news to share with us, we're more than happy to put a megaphone on it and share it with the industry. So keep that in mind.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
I feel like this really feeds into what we were talking about towards the end of last year, that we're going to start seeing these mergers where, you know, vendors are trying to kind of shore up maybe the holes they have in their products by acquiring rather than building. So yeah, Steve was also our highest watched YouTube clip. So he's a star of the pod. Thank you for continuing to give us content.
With that face, how could you not be on YouTube? So,
well, it's I think he deserves like a repeat guest award or something. He's been on Slick Talk like 1,000 times, on GMH a couple, so definitely makes his way through the pods, which is always exciting.
And I think we're going to see a lot of acquisitions like this throughout the year, where vendors might be running up on capital themselves and then seek a bigger partner or acquisition target to roll them in, whether it's a pure acquisition, an acqui-hire, whatever. I think we're going to see a good bit of those on the vendor side this year for a number of reasons, but if nothing else, a lack of funding into this space, especially on the tech side and probably on the management side as well. So, and then what we'll see for those that are unsuccessful in getting acquired is going to be what happened with both Here and Frontdesk. So we can get into each of those individually. Here was a platform that you could buy a vacation rental home or invest in one as little as $100. I think they bought a couple dozen properties and couldn't make it work. I don't know how you don't make it work when you're owning the properties yourself and other people paid for them, but my guess is they tried to hire too much internally before realizing how few heads are necessary to manage 24 properties. But I know we'll probably dive into Frontdesk a lot more, but thoughts on Here before we move on?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of these companies that have popped up to make the fractional ownership a reality. And I do think, I mean, obviously I haven't seen their P&L, but I think it is kind of a common mistake to overhire some expensive talent, and your payroll and like your housekeeping are like your biggest costs. And so if you didn't have the revenue to support that right out the gate, I think the lack of a short-term plan to profitability is probably what gets them, like, you know, going back to what we've talked about a lot of times, there was this idea, like, as long as, like, profitability is a later problem to think about. It was like, how do you get this up and running? And as we've talked about also, that's shifted. So I think that's probably the trap they fell into.
Yeah. And I had the opportunity to, you know, talk and interview Corey Walters, the founder, on my other podcast. And going through the business model sounds really great in theory, but again, it comes to execution and the practice. And, you know, knowing what we know from our podcast network, they were doing some ad spend throughout a couple, you know, influencers, other type things. And then I remember there was a moment in time where it had to freeze due to over hiring. So going again, like having to go through layoffs and all this other stuff, it definitely was spun up quickly. And this model of fractional ownership, you know, when you're investing the property and managing it, I think, you know, there's kind of it could be a good and bad thing. And obviously what we're seeing in this case definitely ended up being, not the best scenario for them, especially in the market with interest rates that were going, they were buying some pretty expensive properties that were not able to draw the returns. So shout out to Jamie Lane and AirDNA, because you know, that data could really help you, I think, understand like the actual potential for an investment property. I think, you know, we need to start calculating into more, not only is it a good deal, but, you know, is it actually cash flow positive? Is it operational Like, is it going to be able to provide a good P&L individually as a property, not as a portfolio?
Well, this is just an example of what's happening to like a lot of homeowners. What we're seeing where people bought a home in 21 or 22 expecting those same kind of returns, and that's just not the universe we're living in. So this is just kind of playing out in a different way, but this is happening to a lot of people who came in at the high and are now being confronted with reality.
Yeah. What's strange is, or bad, I guess, is that we saw so many companies like this spin up starting in 2021. So buying at record highs, prices plus record high interest rates for the past decade or two. So I'm sure some can make it work. I think there's, if you're already an operator and you can just kind of flip a switch and fold these into existing operations, that's a lot different than building a company specifically around it. But yeah, I mean, it's one of two that happened last week, and I'm sure one of many that will happen this quarter and even more following the rest of this year.
Definitely. And before we move on to the next one, I want to say what up to Oliver out in Minneapolis. And of course, Christopher and Derek, thanks for tuning in the live, guys. We want to know, what are you seeing if you have properties out there? Are you seeing the best ROI in returns, or how is that playing out? Because would love to see if it's not just, companies like here that are struggling. I know personally, my mom and dad sold my childhood home. They had to do a 1099 or whatever the exchange was. I forget what that whatever thing is. And they bought their property out in Florida. And now, they're not doing great like they were earlier, but they're not doing as bad where they're in the red. But it's still, they're definitely seeing the shift. And I get text messages from my dad and parents saying like, hey, why aren't we making as much money anymore? It's like, you're in the probably the highest supplied state, with
not I feel their pain.
Anymore, so yeah.
As someone, we do like a company, we have town halls and we have always a Q&A section. And we were talking about like going over the revenue year over year. We did like some high level financials, and someone was like, why don't we just raise the rates? And we're like, why don't we just raise the rates? That's I wish that was the button that solved all of this.
Amen.
Logic, right?
Amen. Yeah.
Or lower rates.
Well, anyways. Yeah. But then you open up the opportunity for the guests that you may not want. So that's always the cost of the owner, too. So always an interesting. The balance is real. It's really real. You have to know that what that rate is that gets you over that tipping point. Anyway, so let's go into the front desk news. Unfortunately, not only have we seen other operators in the past, say Alfred, Lyric, Domio, etc., go out of business. We had Jesse on the pod, I don't know how long ago, but not too long ago, kind of mid to end of 2023. And it's really sad to see a big urban operator, especially one that go out of business. It's not great for the industry, obviously. And it's also not great for everyone impacted. Jesse put a lot of years into front desk, a lot of time and a lot of years and a lot of hustle. So it's unfortunate to see the closure of a big operator with over 1,000 properties or 1,000 units. What are your guys' thoughts? Brandy, I feel like you should start us off because you are an urban operator, but Michael seems eager too. So
yeah, I'll let Michael go.
I figure Brandy would have even more color. So I'll just say we hate to see it, especially to a guy like Jesse, who was, in my mind, probably the most tech forward of the urban operators. No offense, Brandy.
That's fine. No offense.
But yeah, it's a bummer to see things like that happen to people that you call friends. And, at the end of the day, it's business. He was at it for quite a while. One of the early guys in the trend setting space. And then ultimately, could make it work. And that is business sometimes. Sometimes it just can't fit together in a way that you want it to, or the economy changes.
Jesse and the whole front desk team, like they're just great people. So it's always, you know, sad to see this happen, especially when you know just how hard the team works. And, as an urban operator, every time someone closes, it does feel a little like, because it's just more examples of our business model that aren't working out. But I also have to say, they were in business for a long time. I mean, I think at least 8 years, maybe longer. And so that's not a bad run. I think one of the things that I tried to remember when I was looking at this is that businesses fail all the time. Almost like, what is it, the statistic, like 90% of startups fail or something. So this isn't necessarily a failure. They were in business for a long time. They raised a lot of money. They had a solid business for a while. And in the end, the economy changed, the investing environment changed, travel environment, all these things changed, and they weren't able to figure out the right way to reorganize the puzzle. But that doesn't necessarily mean it was a total failure. It just means that it didn't, have a lot of longevity, but there's a lot of people who have tried to start a business and they didn't make it nearly as far. But I think that this is it's not necessarily a wake up call, because I think those of us in the urban space have known that the master lease model is not, that arbitrage is kind of gone. So I think everybody is now trying to reposition their agreements and their models and trying to make sure that their company is positioned well to enter this like next era of travel and business in our space.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when we were doing this show during COVID and even 2021, the COVIDpreneur was very a popular phrase, where a lot of people got laid off, furloughed, all this other stuff, gone to a startup mindset, right? Like, I want to work for myself. I want to own my own destiny. And a lot of those businesses, I would say, Brandy, your statistic is probably pretty dang accurate of 90% did not continue after a year. And last year, 2023, was the biggest year of startup, death, basically. And I have a feeling that this is going to ripple into 2024 a little bit. The way the capital was influxed in 2021, 2022, 2023 now is going to carry on into 2024 for a bit on the unfortunate news of startups not making it. And I think, it's a gloomy kind of way to start the year, but I think there is a brighter side of it. As we've seen, there's an acquisition that just happened today that we got to obviously announce with Operto and DAC. I'm hoping that we continue to see this trend of this kind of consolidated capital, the way that this kind of last couple of years has been, the ripple effect carries over into this year.
Yeah, I think, two big pieces to keep in mind. The industry is not going anywhere. Plain and simple, like, the vacation rental industry is here to stay. It's not one of these industries that's at threat of, just totally upheaval, right? Some horse carriage maker is never coming back, right? People will always rent vacation rental homes. They'll always travel. They'll always take their families. Like, that's core to the human experience. I think I've done Focusrite Young Leaders Summit a couple times, and they always bring in these big successful travel execs who've, taken their business to IPO or sold for hundreds of millions of dollars. And, they all will share that their team was good. Their business model was good, decent, whatever. But the biggest thing that they had on their side was timing. They timed the market well. Mm-hmm. And, anyone that may have sold their urban vacation rental business in 2019 nailed the market. Anyone that rode it into, a property management company in New York City over the past 2 or 3 years did a terrible timing on the market. It doesn't always mean you have a bad business or a bad business model. It also could just be that the timing is not good. So the industry is not going anywhere. It's gonna be a bloodbath this year. I really think it's not gonna be pretty for the industry, but the industry is not going anywhere. The big will get bigger. The small will sometimes fade away. Those that raised venture capital 2 years ago and that are kind of running up on the end of their runway might go down with the ship too. So I think we're going to see more of this happen. I hope we don't. I hope something fundamentally changes. But at the end of the day, you know, the industry is not going anywhere. It's just a matter of who's gonna survive the next 12 months.
Yeah, it's a gloomy start, but I do think that where just like when we were going into COVID and there was just kind of this like chaos, and there's also the people that, you know, thrive in that chaos are like, those are the stronger companies that emerge. And Jeremy, shout out Jeremy in the comments, was saying that like, this is how you learn, by kind of testing the bathwater before you step in. Like, you know, like, let's look at what these companies did wrong and try to not make those mistakes. And I think that if you are a smaller company, like you're not a Sonder or a Vacasa, you can pivot a little bit easier, and you can, you know, adapting, seeing what's going wrong and trying to make those changes right away is what's going to save you. And it is hard. I mean, it's hard to steer these monstrosities that we're all building. But you have to like learn from some of these mistakes. If you're not changing anything, if you're not going through your P&L line item by line item, seeing what you really need, how everything works together, then you might be one of these companies that we talk about later on.
Definitely. And, you know, it's actually kind of funny talking about the pivot and the structure, because there's a lot of founders that have come into this industry from similar kind of verticals, right? So the first one I think of, and coincidentally they're a sponsor of ours, but Maxim Sojo, he was running, he had a company right before Sojo, well, not right before, but before Sojo, doing logistics in the shipment and kind of a amenity space, right? So being able to have that type of business skill set, I remember talking, didn't say how much of a success it was, but I also think he did learn a lot from that and was able to apply that to Sojo. And as we see today, like, they're getting some of the biggest names out there. And so talking about pivot and the way that you're going to structure, I think you can do this when you have, Michael said it perfectly, the right timing and the experience. And as Jeremy, kind of the combination of everybody talking, you know, putting your toe in that bathwater to check that temperature is always super important. So one, shout out to Sojo and for all that you guys have learned before Sojo and applying that to today, but also just for the companies out there that are able to learn from lessons like that. You know, it's super, super important to obviously observe the market and to do what you can, right? It's hard to steer such a big ship. So if you can learn while you're at a smaller phase, even better. So
yeah, that's a great point. VCs love investing in second time founders, because even if their first one was a failure, sometimes especially if the first one was a failure, because they're more motivated, they know what mistakes to avoid, they know where they went wrong the first time around. So yeah, I think that's a really good point. And you know, I think Max is a good example of how you can come out of the gate with a good business instead of kind of floundering around for a couple of years trying to find your niche. You know, just come out, nail the product market fit and build.
I also think another challenge that we have, and this is just a kind of a consequence of today's technology, but everything that happens is so public. Like every little like mess up a company has, or everything is scrutinized. We're talking about in this podcast, it becomes, you know, the commentary of the day on LinkedIn or whatever. And so you have, everybody is able to give their two cents and scrutinize what you did or did not do correctly. So I also think that going into this year where things are going to be tricky, where people are going to be facing difficult business decisions, that we all make sure we put our stones down and don't throw them in glass houses. It is a very tricky, tricky business. And no one goes into business being like, I hope I blow this up. Like, you know, everybody wants to succeed. And, you know, a lot of our listeners have started their own businesses or have been there from the early days, and you know how difficult it is. So let's maybe approach this potentially difficult year with a touch of compassion and empathy for everyone just trying to figure out how to stay alive.
100%. Not to get on a high horse with this, but, you know, we see too much in the industry where people, you know, feel like their shit doesn't stink. And I feel like that's pretty, like you just said, Brandy, like the ability to put your stone down and not throw in a glass house is super important. I don't, you know, my mission personally with Hospitality FM is to find voices and elevate those and amplify them that are bringing like actual good to the industry. Hence why we're announcing a new original show here in the next like week or so. But at the end of the day, like the people that amplify like the good are going to succeed. Those who don't and kind of cause this unneeded and tasteless drama, you know, it's going to show your true colors, and obviously those who work with you are going to show theirs, and those who don't are going to know their true value. So I agree with you there, and that's all I'll say, so we don't make this a little too political and too much of a clickbait clip for others to use on LinkedIn.
Come out with flames, well, Will.
Yeah. hey, but I think, you know,
about the mission.
Yes. And I think we have coming up shortly, we have our predictions roundtable that will be coming out. So I think it was really interesting to do it last year, and we'll see. Hopefully some people have some more positive trends that they're hoping to see. Michael shaking his head. I don't know. It's for me personally, when we go through, like, there's like the stress of like, how are we going to continue to grow the business, continue to be successful, and it can be incredibly overwhelming. So I started off last year with a phrase that I wrote on the whiteboard in the office. It said just like relentless positivity 2023. That was a really hard thing to maintain.
You use that on me a lot, Brandy. I remember you saying it a lot in our private chats.
I know. It's kind of like, maybe if I say it enough, it will absorb. But I think just trying to, maintain a level of positivity and compassion for yourself if you're running a business and it's really hard and really stressful. Like, everybody is going through some stuff this year, so there's some community there.
Yeah, I would say it. Again, this industry is not going anywhere. For the past however many years, you've always seen, including myself, folks predicting consolidation. Real consolidation is going to happen this year. And you know, the big companies with great products and sound financials are really, really going to grow. It's just going to be kind of at everyone else's detriment. So there's definitely going to be winners this year. People coming out feeling really, really good. If you're the best property management in your local market, you're going to clean up. If you're the best PMS, you're the best pricing tool, you're the best whatever, you're going to clean up because some of your competitors are going to go out of business. So there's certainly opportunity in everything. So I'm eagerly, anxiously awaiting what happens this year.
Yeah. On that, I think before this episode, we were talking, one of my things this year is, just what you said, Michael, product this year is going to be so important. Product on the tech side, product on the operations side. Like, not every home, not every multifamily building needs to be a short-term rental or a vacation rental. So let's make sure we have great product on the operations and the home economics, but also then the great product on the tech. So, you know, seeing Oparto acquire DAC, that's a great product. Like, I've demoed DAC many times. It is a really clean product. I loved it. It was great. And so I think, you know, focusing on product is going to be really important. And Brandy, as we've all mentioned many times on this show, and getting to, you know, also hang out with you guys in New York, you know, financials, like operating your financials, your P&L is so important. Financial discipline this year, product and financial discipline are the key things for 2024 for operators and vendors, whether you're ventured or private equity backed or anything or bootstrapped, doesn't matter. All of it is going to be super, super important.
Yeah. Make sure you're having those monthly P&L meetings, going through all those costs. It's worth taking the time to make sure that you know where your business is in a regular cadence. Junior Collins says year three is tough. Yeah. Keep going. You got this. Lots of coffee. Junior, maybe a Celsius.
We got you. Yeah, we got you. And Jeremy Weiss, I'm drinking Nespresso pods. They're the uncle, or not the uncle. Sorry, my cup says uncle on it. That's why I was reading that. But the Nespresso, they're the caramel pods. So I love my caramel lattes in the morning. but that's about it. Sorry. Sorry for all of our listeners. We have to engage with the live viewership. It makes it all more fun.
Well, Michael, you know,
Go ahead, Randy.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, for those of you who are considering their kind of the year ahead and anything they might want to change up, if you're looking for a new tech, we've been talking about a lot the importance of really evaluating your tech stack. Our wonderful sponsors over at TravelNet, you demo track, see if they're a good fit. They, you know, they have a really great product. And if you're looking to make a change, I know a lot of people are going into their slow season. So I highly suggest a migration during your off season to maintain some level of sanity. And then also for any of their digital marketing needs, Atlas is a great option that, you know, even though we have to kind of tighten our spending, it's more choosing the right product to put those dollars towards rather than totally scrapping everything. So check out the link in the show notes if you're in the market for or in the mood for a new PMS.
No, I love that. I love that. And to kind of do some shameless shout outs, some promos here, this coming Friday for all of our live listeners right now, this coming Friday, 12 p.m. MST, which is Mountain Standard Time for me, or 2 p.m. EST, we are doing an operators roundtable with the one and only Brandy Canale, Megan Moylan with Outpost Group, Robin Cragen with Moving Mountains, and of course, Dennis with Cassiola Vacation Homes. So if you're an operator in the space and you want to learn how to properly operate at scale in 2024 and learn from some legends of the industry, that's a perfect roundtable to join. I'll put a post or a link in the comments and the show notes. And then, of course, our predictions episode, which is next week, where we're getting some influential names, not only the people on this show. We actually have the full GMH crew that will be there. And then, of course, a couple other HFM podcasters giving their predictions for 2024 in multiple categories of the industry. So that's kind of our shameless shout outs. Thank you to Sojo and TravelNet for being our sponsors. 30 days of amenities for Sojo, link in the show notes. Before we finally conclude this episode, Mr. Golden, what's on your mind this week? Anything exciting that you got coming up?
We've got Storied's first members retreat in Dublin next week. So getting some stuff together there, and you guys both know about a cool project I've been working on. We'll be announcing it pretty soon. So on the in the outdoor glamping space. Yeah. So stay tuned. That project. Probably another 2 weeks or so, but we'll share more shortly.
I was thinking of a different project, but you know, never mind that. There's so many projects happening behind the scenes for all the listeners. So get ready. There's going to be quite the announcement run here, but sounds exciting, Mr. Golden. Brandy, so good to be back with you. It's not the same when Mondays aren't spent with the two of you guys. So good to see your faces this morning.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back, and I'm leaving. You can't necessarily see all the snow in my background, but there's a lot of snow behind me, and I'm heading back to the sun today. So yeah, lots of snow. So I'm very excited to be heading back to Miami. I need to get my tan back.
I feel it.
Me too.
Well, yeah, Michael, you definitely need it. Awesome. Well, so good to see you guys. To all of our live viewers, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love your engagement and love your support. If you ever need anything, reach out to us. We love talking to you guys behind the scenes. For all of our listeners, thank you again for tuning in and making this podcast one of the best business news podcasts out there. And of course, like always, if you like and subscribe, we'll see you again next week. And don't forget, every Wednesday, Sarah Dandashi, Steve Turk, our hotel crew goes live same time. So join them this Wednesday, and we'll see you all again very soon.